This week on the Glass Cannon Podcast, the heroes emerge from the Vault of Thorns.
Can we go to the boat?
I never thought I'd want to be back on that boat.
I know.
Back on that death trap.
And Della meets the world.
Della is just fascinated by this world. Like, even as dim and murky and scary as Ghostlight Marsh is, it's just so different.
But danger still lurks in the depths of Ghostlight Marsh.
Roll for initiative.
All right.
Let's get our groove back, huh?
Danger like no one has seen before.
Oh my God, it's so heartbreaking.
The adventure continues.
Kill it, Baron, kill it!
Now.
Welcome to another episode of the Glass Cannon Podcast. This is your dwarf, Grant Berger, a.k.a. Baron Redheart, and I am thrilled to be with you for another week. Wow, what another double cross that's really rocked the Glass Cannon crew. A Wigga, a hag, the whole time. We've been double-crossed and tricked so much throughout this entire adventure, it's really difficult to tell who's who at any given time. Whether it's someone like Screed, who can change his appearance at will, or the crew of the Chelish Devil. Heck, we even thought we had Malira beaten, and she came back and double-crossed us for a second time. Even Ingehild, our new dwarven companion, almost killed Lork the first time she met him under the effects of a curse. I hope things become a little less devious for the True Now Four as we go further into this adventure, but I can tell you one thing. Baron is done giving the benefit of the doubt to the bad guys. You fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, well, it's not going to happen because I'm going to shoot you in the head. Anyway, guys, I want to give a quick shout out to Kevin O'Dell, who was kind enough to let Skid and I sit in on the final game he had for his students. It was a game of Rise of the Rune Lords. We showed up at the last minute and saved the day, but I can tell you that it was our honor and pleasure to do so because we had a ton of fun playing with these kids and seeing Kevin passing the torch to the next generation of Pathfinders. Kevin, we hope we can do it again next year. Anyway, without further ado, here's episode 56, Elementally, Muddeer Watson.
Should I have not have ended last episode the way I did?
Oh, man.
Was that cool?
It's not even funny.
I just thought you guys enjoyed the combat so much that I wanted it to really end on a
really satisfying note.
Yes.
Cool. Yeah.
That was one of those combats that, like, is so frustrating that it's hard not to hate everything about it. Because you feel helpless.
Yeah, invisible creatures, the... It's just brutal.
Well, and that's the
and
thing.
And spellcasters.
The thing, too.
Who can also fight in melee.
When you have a fight that rough, that lasts that long, and it's you feel so ineffectual for most of it, and then at the end, the person you're fighting vanishes. They escape.
Gets away.
And then it's like, oh, well, at least we have the treasure. And it's like, oh, there's no treasure.
Yeah. Who's the Greek guy that pushes the rock up?
Sisyphus.
Sisyphus.
It's a Sisyphus thing.
This is a Sisyphian.
In my defense, I'd like to blame Joe for a little bit of what happened.
Excuse me.
Oh, what did he do?
Well, there was a point, I don't know if you guys remember it as much as I do, but where I rolled two fumbles basically in a row.
Yeah, I do. I do remember that distinctly.
So what for the listeners at home, what they couldn't see is that Joe idly started reaching over to my dice and rolling all natural ones, natural fives, and he cursed my dice with his Jonas.
It all adds up.
I actually did. I forgot that. Yeah. I wanted to see if it was real.
Turns out it's real.
Still real.
Cursed by Jonas. Well,
but that was a big part of why that was so frustrating was because of the timing and nature of some of the fumbles that we had.
Yeah, Lork fumbled too. Lork minus two for a few rounds and on ranged.
Yeah, I blamed you guys more than anything for poor rolling. I mean, I've never seen Matthew angry, and his face was just like smoke coming out of his ears.
I've really never seen him
like an ice cold glare.
I was so angry at those dice. Yeah. And you, Joe.
And you know what?
I'll buy you new dice. And I won't touch them, I promise.
And you know, no matter how much we play this game, you pretty much, live or die, you always kill the bad guy.
Right.
But in this case, she got away.
Yeah.
She's the one that got away. But at least you found a hoard of treasure that you came to this vault for.
So I do want to do two things to that chest, if I can.
Okay.
Besides ogle it.
I'm nervous.
Besides light it on fire.
I want to look at it and see why it's swollen, if there's any type of check I can do for that, because you kept on calling it swollen.
Right.
And I want to just inspect it in general to see if there's any weird secret.
What's the
missing.
Deception? Yeah. What? Why? Why?
Why?
A deceptive chest.
I want to, and if I don't find anything on my perception check, I want to like try to pick it up and move it.
Okay. Roll a perception.
Fuck. 17.
Yeah, you can't really. You don't really see anything.
Baron, come on.
Della's you guys are welcome to perceive as well.
Della's going to take her
scimitar. I thought you were going to ask me if there was an interesting stoneworking in the chest.
He hasn't asked that in a while. Yeah. I forgot.
Della, what do you think?
We're in I just want to verify that it's empty and not that there's not like invisible items.
Is there a false bottom?
Is there a false bottom?
You can roll a perception check.
All right. All right. Perception for the false bottom.
You only get one.
Natty one. Here we go, Lark. Let's start this episode
Lark
off
back
right.
In town.
Natty 19.
Oh.
24.
Yeah.
No, 26.
Galabo?
13.
So Baron walks.
I'm aiding her.
Okay, Baron walks up, looking around. He doesn't see anything. Lork walks up.
Trips.
The trips falls. Lands on Barry Connick Jr.
Stop landing on me.
And Della is like, wait a minute. Let me take a look at that. False bottom.
What? No. Really?
Are you
really?
Shitting
really?
Me?
Sure enough, there's
get
a false
give me a fucking bottle cap.
Yes!
Oh. Give me a bottle cap!
Wait, would it have shown itself if I had tried to move it?
No, it was unmovable. It's right into the rock.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion
wait,
for a
wait, so it
cap.
Is a
you
stone.
Get a bottle cap.
Yeah!
Why did you get a bottle? I was the one who did the check.
I was the one who said false bottom. I was joking.
Shared,
I can't believe
shared bottle cap.
Really,
I
false bottle.
I can't find one. you get a bottle cap.
So wait.
See, he doesn't even come with bottle caps because he knows he's not going to give them out.
We're all drinking out of cans.
You said the false bottom was in a stone bottom, didn't you? I think I got stone sense.
Ooh.
Oh. No, you got nothing.
shit.
Sure enough, there is a false bottom in the chest. What do you do?
Hey, false bottom.
Open it.
False bottom?
Yeah, lift the false bottom.
A ladder descending.
Oh, no!
Down into the 50-foot high mound.
Holy shit. Now, oh, God. Do we need to rest? Do we need to rest?
Can we rest?
You can absolutely rest. It's the same thing where even this room has been corrupted by blight. You know,
you just stay awake.
Same rules. Yeah, you don't really sleep. You don't.
I mean, let's just say for the sake of argument that we go down the stairs and all it is a giant hoard of treasure. Like, our characters couldn't possibly, like, go down there without resting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you could easily think there'd be something guarding at that level, too.
The door is kicked open. Iwiga escaped. We should, like... It would be logical for us to, you know, let's
we should close
ourselves.
The door.
Yeah, close the
bar. Bar the door.
Close the chest too.
Close the chest.
Replace the false bottom. Close the chest.
Yeah, we never saw it.
And stay awake.
And knit for 8 hours.
Okay.
tell ghost stories. If you could prepare lesser restoration.
Yeah,
my strength down.
Ah, yes, because Della has minus two.
I'm definitely still going to be down. I'm fine. I have 37 hit points, but you know, I'll cure like 7 with the rest. So
well, why don't do you want me to hit you with a wand?
No, let's save it. Let's save it.
Okay,
I want to save.
I still got plenty of charges in that wand.
It's fine. It's fine. I'm only going to be like 6 down of max. You know what I mean? Like let's save the wand.
That could make all the difference, Joe.
Yeah, well, I'm ferocious and rage-filled.
While he's not looking, I won't mention.
Non-consensual wand.
5 points.
All right, thanks.
Could you non-consensually wand me, too? Hey there.
Yeah.
I'll take it, too, because we almost all died. Are you kidding me? We can buy another one. We found $1,000 worth of perfumed flowers. We can buy another fucking wand.
10 points to Della.
I'm a max now. Thank you.
And 10 points to
Perfect. Baron. Thank you.
Okay, and then we rest.
Okay.
Resting's what you do when you lose.
Rest. Rest your weary heads.
Okay. Time to go down that ladder.
Oh, and I was going to say for Galabras, like, his meditations are invaded ever since it happened by visions of Gormley's broken body. Every time he tries to think of anything else, like that's all that comes up.
I can see that happening as the voice of the narrator from Baldur's Gate. You rest your weary head at the end of a day, but your rest is interrupted by visions of
Saravok.
Okay. What do you guys want to do? Just leave the vault?
So we were good here in this room, resting, staying awake, though, and nothing came in. Nothing bothered us, and we passed 8 hours, you're saying?
Yep.
Okay. Meditations are done.
Remove the false bottom and
go down. Lork will go first.
I love false bottom.
How do you descend with a bear cub?
You don't. Leave the bear upstairs.
Yeah, I'll tell him to stay. I'll tell him to stay at the top of the mound, and Lork will descend the stairs.
It is a warped wooden ladder, actually. Going straight down, and it goes down into a 10-foot square chamber.
And before I do that, I restore.
Oh, so it's really small.
I restore Dala.
Dala.
2 points.
Oh, that's what I lost. Great. Yeah. Thank you.
Dala has her strength back. How Dala got her strength back. Warped wooden ladder into a 10-foot square room. So not even all of you can fit down there.
I suggest that Galabras go down too with his knowledge of.
I'll go down.
So I love this idea of Galabras and Lork just in there.
Yeah, yeah.
In this treasure room while the other guy's looking down.
What's Keep an eye out.
What's in there? Yeah. Although several of the items in the room have rotted or decayed, it is loaded with magical items.
Yeah!
Galabras senses great magic.
Oh, finally.
Lay it on us.
I will tell you. Let's start with the money that you find.
Start with the cash.
You find 3 platinum pieces.
Yeah.
178 gold pieces.
Ooh. Okay.
605 silver pieces. Mm. And 2,125 copper pieces.
Yay.
That's not much.
There is a...
I'm not going to complain.
Ironwood crown with a stylized thorn motif.
Oh.
That is cool.
Worth 250 gold pieces.
Ooh.
A ceremonial gem-encrusted cudgel worth 150 gold pieces.
Mm. What's a cudgel? Is that like a hammer?
It's or a club.
Yeah.
Club?
There are 2 wands.
Mm.
There are 3 scrolls. Mm. There is 10 arrows, 10 magical arrows, another magical arrow. A magical,
They're different.
They're different. So, like, there's a group of 10 magical arrows that have one magic. Then there's one single arrow that has its own magic. There is a magical scimitar.
You gotta be shitting me.
Shit.
There is a magical greatsword. And there is a magical ironwood breastplate.
Oh, cool.
Whoa.
That's really cool.
That is very cool.
So you guys like handing it up the ladder?
Yeah.
Passing it up. Oh, I love this image.
I'll let you do the wands together. I'll let you do the scrolls as one thing. I'll let you do the arrows.
Lork's like, Galabras doesn't have any value. What did we find down here?
I can
spellcraft. Oh, you don't have spellcraft.
I don't have spellcraft.
Can you?
I have spellcraft.
Is this worth a bit of lucking him?
I mean, I have the same spellcraft that Gormley did, so.
Yeah.
Right.
If you want a bit of luck, me, I don't think it's worth it.
Can he?
We could just use a wand, right? Oh, I don't know.
You have to know what it is.
Yeah, you do, I guess.
Right. Start with the wands.
14.
That's fine. There's a wand of flaming sphere with 9 charges.
Okay.
And a wand of greater magic fang with 12 charges.
I don't know what Magic Fang is.
Magic Fang like lets you add a natural attack during your attack action, your melee attack action.
Oh, yeah. It's a druidic spell, so none of you can cast it, but
you can with Use Magical Device.
If you invest enough in Use Magic Device, it is possible.
So like Della, for example, could cast it on herself, and then I think you can make a melee attack and then like a bite attack.
So badass.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Let's talk about the scrolls.
15.
Okay, well, you're really killing it over there.
Yeah. I changed dice and stuff. These are the ones jokers.
Is a scroll...
Stop blaming. Now I'm getting blamed for your bad rolls.
A scroll of bark skin.
Ooh.
A scroll of call lightning.
Mm.
And a scroll of summon nature's ally 4.
What? Oh, wow. Shit. You can summon like a dinosaur with
yeah,
that.
Like a triceratops.
But again, I think that's a druid spell.
Right? They're all druid spells. Yeah. It's very cool. They're all druid spells.
All right, the weapons?
Yes. I'll just tell you, there are 10 plus 1 Orc Bane arrows.
Oh, man! Don't fall on them.
I know, right?
10 plus 1 Orc Bane arrows.
Noob Corner. Amazing. Noob Corner, what is that?
Noob alert.
They do extra damage against orcs.
Mm. Yeah. Plus 2d6 damage against orcs.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's Bane, Orc Bane.
Anything Bane means it does extra damage against
them. Damn you, McBane.
Yep.
And the other one is a single Orc Slaying Arrow. Which I believe if it hits, it gets a fortitude save, I think, and then it dies.
Right.
It
fails the fortitude save. I don't know the mechanics. It's complicated.
Makes the save, it still suffers like
crazy 50 damage,
points
right.
of damage or something.
About the Scimitar?
The scimitar.
Can we roll?
Don't even worry about rolling on it because you have seen a scimitar similar to this because you've been calling the magic of the same exact thing. It is a plus one flaming scimitar.
Oh my god!
And that is straight from the book. That is not me.
Get out of here!
Holy shit!
It is not me.
A flaming scimitar.
A plus one flaming scimitar.
So you can turn yours into like a plus two flaming ice scimitar.
It could like do flame burst. It could do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Or just a plus three flaming scimitar, and that'd be fucking great too.
It is and the breastplate is a plus one ironwood breastplate. So obviously the plus one is going to help. I don't know who can wear that. I don't know who has the armor.
I think I can. Either of us can.
But ironwood.
Calabrous.
I don't even know. Ironwood probably grants you some benefits as well, the fact that it's ironwood.
No, it doesn't. All ironwood does is it allows a druid to wear it, because druids can't wear metal.
They can't wear metal.
Ah, interesting.
But it has the same bonuses, but it allows druids to wear it.
Well,
but
shit, the next time one of you die.
But it's still better than my breastplate.
The next time one of you guys die, you got to come back as a druid.
What about the greatsword?
Well, you guys are handing all this stuff up, you know, Galabras and Lork, like assembly line, handing it up there. And the last thing Lork grabs is the greatsword.
Yeah, I want to know what that
And as shit. You're handing it up, you notice on the hilt the sigil of Gorum etched into the hilt.
Wow. Oh.
And it is, as far as Galabras can tell, the most magical item in the room.
Oh, shit. Holy shit. Can you do a spellcraft on that? Can I?
I'll do it.
I'll say a prayer to Gorum.
And I will give you a bit of luck for this.
Ignore that roll. Bit of luck.
18.
You don't know.
Oh, no.
So what's the rule with this? Like, tomorrow I could, like...
Sure,
I
could
try, I guess. I think it's every 24 hours you can keep trying it, I think.
Yeah. So I guess we'll have to wait.
So 18 tomorrow. Doesn't mean...
No.
Does it? It seems very powerful, though.
Yeah, you are detecting moderate transmutation magic from it.
Oh, weird!
Wow, and it has Gorum on it.
It has Gorum on it.
All right, so Lork is definitely going to take that then. Yeah.
Would you guys mind if I took the scimitar?
No, you could take the scimitar. I assume nobody wants a falchion.
No,
Screed's falchion, huh?
Yeah, I'm thinking about laying it to rest here.
Is it worth anything?
You should give it to Greg if you wanted to keep it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I can carry it, no problem.
You can?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Gormley had the belt of heavy load.
I have a flail and a longbow and a dagger, and I feel like it's silly carrying all these weapons. So, but I definitely want to explore what this weapon of Gorum is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like Lork just sort of started going in for this religion stuff after Jason died, and so he's not that. He's kind of new to it, but he sees this symbol and he's like, he wants to explore it, see what it has to offer.
Mm-hmm. Aren't you glad you didn't fight over the belt of incredible dexterity?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, what do I... Oh. That's awesome.
Hey, guys, by the way, I have a dex character now, so if that belt of incredible dexterity is up for grabs, no. Want to reopen that one?
You guys, somebody should take a level in druid.
You're telling me that plus one flaming scimitar wasn't enough for you? Okay, just curious.
Well, Grant, I can add my dex bonus to my damage. So.
Oh, wow. Oh, great.
All right, so you guys empty out the treasure chest. Did you, when we ended last episode over the week, did you think, there's no way there's no treasure in there? Or were you like, there's definitely, we got fucked. We got
No, I thought that it was a complete deception, but I was trying to wrap my head around why or like what was the purpose, you know? And I was like, we have to find maybe a secret door somewhere else. I thought that the druids put the deception up there for you to find something else somewhere else in the room.
Right.
I thought there was a bigger plot at foot.
I thought Awiga snuck in while like she moved to the other side of the room and like took everything.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I didn't even think that you.
I thought she maybe spirited away with whatever it was.
Fucking crazy. but yeah, no, you got some
insane.
Got some shit.
So these guys, it seems like the treasure is in line with the fact that they fucking don't like orcs. These druids,
right,
they just hate them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now you have a considerable cache.
My God, I'm just looking it up, and it looks like...
To go to Red Lake Fort.
It looks like an orc slaying arrow alone could be worth 2,000 gold pieces.
Just one single arrow.
Yeah.
Don't think you'll be selling that one.
Yeah. we might need it.
May come in handy in a fort of orcs and giants.
Oh my God. I can tell you I will not be shooting it without a bit of luck.
Yeah, no, totally.
That's like an assassination. Like, those are assassination, like that one.
Exactly, right? Imagine you crit with that.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Okay, so you, as far as you can tell, you have made it through the Vault of Thorns. Two members of your party have passed. The Vault of Thorns did, as you took from the Vault of Thorns, it took from the party. But you have, as far as you know, rid it of the evil that lied within. And this false druid, Iwiga, whatever her...
Could I roll? I want to roll to see if she actually... I don't think she's a druid, because especially that she changed her appearance. And what with you saying, with being weird about the Cure Light Wounds. Could I roll a, some sort of knowledge check to see if, like, knowledge arcana to see what kind of spellcaster she was?
Sure. A little,
Or what, you know, what she was.
Right.
25. Nope. 23. I read the wrong knowledge.
She was, in fact, a druidic hag. Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah, she was like a hag with...
two great tastes that taste great together.
Yeah. Female green hag druid. She's tough. That's written as a CR7 encounter, but the fact that the Bramble Bright and the animated Bramble left you guys staggering, that turns it up to a CR9 encounter. Have we ever talked about CR?
I can't remember.
I don't think, no, I don't think can't, so. I can't imagine that
we should,
ever did.
We should mention it.
Yeah.
It's good.
Hey, cue the music.
Nerd. Skeet's got some flame.
CR.
Creature rating?
Challenge rating. It's just a number that's supposed to reflect how difficult an encounter is, and it's supposed to basically coincide or match the relative level of the adventurers running into it. So a CR7 encounter, you know, basically ordinary size group should be about level 7.
Right, like you factor in the APL, which is the average party level, which for you guys is 5. So if you fight a CR5 encounter or a CR5 creature, that's something you should be able to handle. It's of equal strength.
Average.
So CR6 is
difficult.
Hard, and then CR7 is extremely difficult.
And this was basically CR9.
And I think it was a CR9.
Which, like, over four
which is,
epic.
Yeah.
But you survived. No one else died. And now you are flush with items sitting in this, standing in this room covered in blight.
There is no exit at the bottom.
No.
There are no other means of ingress or egress out of the back of this room, correct?
None that you perceive.
Double doors. I want to do a quick perception to see if there are any secret doors. That's what I'm looking for particularly.
Sure.
And if not, I want to do survival checks to try to find any hag-like footprints as we leave and go back out of here.
Right.
Okay, so here's my perception check to see any secret doors. 26.
You don't see anything. Yeah, it's all just woods and shit.
And I'll wait for everyone else to get ready before we leave, but I just want to do a general survival check to look for tracks or anything.
So like outside the door,
back in the hallway. And just in there.
Yeah,
it's all anything that looks like what her feet looked like last time I saw her.
Sure, she was barefoot.
Only a 12.
Yeah, I mean, she's... you'll never see her again, that's what you think. Gone.
Man. We should probably
make our way back to the bodies of our allies.
Yeah.
So pick them up and get out of here.
Leave this awful room, go back into the corridor, head up the sloped corridor, turn around, go up the stairs, come out of that hollow tree into the room where you fought the flowers that shot pollen at you and tried to devour you. Then from there you go... go through double doors. You're back in a hollow tree that takes you out into the greenhouse area. You see the bridge is still dripping water, so there's like rain still coming down from the ceiling. Bright, bright light from way up above. You walk through there. You see the body of the Tendriculus to your right. One of the dead bodies of the first lurker that you killed. The other one, you don't know where it is. There's still creatures everywhere. Monkeys, lizards, birds, all over the place. You make your way through the greenhouse, and you enter that other corridor that slopes up, and then, sure enough, you get to the room where Gormley and Benvereen died. Knowing the dangers of the lily pads, but not fearing the danger of a dragonfly, you take your time. You put the rope down, and you guys go to the bottom of the compost bin, come across, get back up through some careful climb checks. And then you are back in the council chamber, and for the first time in a couple days, I guess, because you've probably rested twice at this point, you see the bodies of your fallen comrades in an empty council chamber.
And they're in general repose still.
They are in general repose in that room that is magically sealed.
Della's going to walk over to Gormley's body.
Okay.
And just stare at it. And just, she's going to like kind of tilt her head to the side. And then she's going to look back to everyone and say, "Who is this?"
That was our friend, Gormley. She was a skilled wielder of magic and a good fighter and a good friend.
Aye, she was very brave. She fought well.
And Della looks at her a little more and then wiggles her hands around and casts Disguise Self and changes into Gormley physically.
Ooh. That's weird. I like
and,
it.
Like moves her hands around like and to see to see what it was like to be her. And then undoes it and returns back to being Della.
Lork is very uncomfortable.
I say,
please don't do that again.
Teenagers.
Teens.
I ask her, can you do that to anyone or just the dead?
Behind the curtain. Fetchlings they can cast Disguise Self once per day.
Oh, so that
use it for the day on that?
Is it like Alter Self?
It's Disguise Self.
It's not as powerful. I
look at her and I say, "No, ma'am, I don't like it."
I'm sorry. I just wanted to understand.
Lork goes,
Can you look like Ben Vereen?
Let me check the rules.
I think that's alter self, actually.
Before we move on and grieve properly, I do want to search the room because we never were able to do that without her here. I just want to see her throne that she was sitting on, like everything else.
Yeah. That and the seed room, right?
Well, we searched the seed room.
Well, we did that thoroughly.
Yeah, you look around and it is completely empty, but those pictures on the wall that I mentioned, those 21 pictures, or 22 if you count the one of me with my thumbs up, if you wanted to take those out of the council, they're worth money. It's just up to you if you'd want to
do
that. Yeah, let's take them.
Well, we should take them, and I don't think we should sell them. I mean, I like the idea of bringing them to Silvermane.
Yeah, I'd love to bring them back to Silvermane.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. I want to know, I turn to my spiritual counselor, Galabras, and I say, this Vault of Thorns has opened up a tear in dimensions, and anything can seep in. Can we close this place? Are we sure it'll be safe for the people around Ghostlap Marsh if we just leave it like it is? It could become more corrupt than ever after we leave.
Yes, but no one lives here now. That nothing can get out. We needed a key to get in ourselves.
All right.
Nothing's escaped.
I just get afeared about what could happen if even more.
Well, once we leave, this place will be sealed.
Okay.
Without the lantern.
When you say leave, where are you going?
We are going to a place outside this place. Red Lake Fort? Fort. Red Lake Fort.
Aye, we head north to a fort to fight the orcs and the giants. And we could use your blade if you'd like to travel with us a little longer.
Well, you're all very interesting, and I've never met anyone else quite like you before, but I have to see if I can find my father when we return. But I'd be happy to accompany you and search for him that way.
If you help us with our quest, we would be more than happy to do what we could to help you find your father as well.
Thank you.
Lork would like to take, he'd like to ask Galabras if he would carry the body of Ben Vereen, and he'll carry the body of Gormley out of the vault.
Yeah.
And he's fine with burying Ben Vereen in the swamp outside, but he wants to carry Gormley back to the boat.
Oh boy, that's going to be tough on Rag.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You don't want to just burn it.
Burn the witch.
Who's
that's
the witch?
What they say.
I don't know. I kind of feel like she should be laid to rest in the mountains, not in a swamp. That's what Lork thinks.
Oh, interesting.
We could take her ashes though.
We could. Is there a Ralph's around here?
it'll take us.
It's because we're bereaved doesn't make us saps.
Now that we know the distance and we aren't going to be fumbling around for a way out, if we get out of here, okay. How long would it take us to get back to the boat?
Assuming you make it through unmolested, 3 days.
Okay, so the body will probably not be in great shape by the time
we get
back.
No, it's got general repose.
Yeah, so forever? Even if we leave the Vault of Thorns?
Yep, it's a spell. He can cast it. Yeah.
Oh, okay,
he
great.
He cast general repose, but that room was also protected by an unguent of timelessness that helped even.
Then I don't see a problem. If we get into trouble, we can
drop her like a sack of rocks.
As gently as possible.
Throw her at it.
roll a ranged attack.
Roll a ranged attack. How much damage does Gormley's body do?
Improvised corpse weapon.
Okay, so you leave there and you cross the bridge overlooking the greenhouse, and then you go out to the floral bloom, and you see that the stone menhir that you first came into the dimension in is no longer glowing.
Oh no. The portal's closed then?
That's what you think.
Could I do a knowledge planes on the portal?
Sure.
Oh.
So we wash the lantern over it and nothing happens?
If you wash the lantern over it, it reignites.
Okay. That's what we do then.
That's what you do, yeah. Yeah, it only lasted for 24 hours.
Sweet, so I got another bottle cap. That's two.
Give me back your first one. Yep, so you wash the lantern over again and just whoom, the olive hue comes up again and it's glowing.
Okay.
I step out with the body of Benverin.
And I step out with the body of Gormley.
I say...
Nice sound.
I say, I turn to our fetchling friend and I say, welcome to Galarian. And then I walk through.
And then, if you can make it here, and you can make it anywhere.
You're standing there in a place that you have been there. You don't even know how long.
It's been ages, but I have no way to know because the day's never turned.
Then, yeah, your sense of time is all over the place. You could have been here 2 weeks or 200 years.
You're immediately 300 years old and die.
And you stand in front of this glowing menhir that you've seen your new comrades touch and then immediately disappear.
And I look back, and then I step through the menhir.
And you guys all appear back in the circle of standing stones, and you see Ingehild, Nagrimikin, just asleep, leaning next to her.
Sleeping on her watch?
Yeah.
She's alone.
She is alone.
Okay.
And she's dead. No.
He's dead, Jim.
Lork will give her a kick, a light kick.
Go, wake up!
He's still not very pleased with her since she tried to decapitate him.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was resting. I don't remember what my voice is like. It's been so many episodes. So I'll just go with this. Did you find what you were looking for?
Aye, we did, but we paid dearly for it.
What happened?
I'm holding the bottle. Where is body of Gormley?
Oh, God. Oh, no. What? Oh, no. Oh, this is horrible. Oh, this is horrible. And you're sure you tell her what happened, and she's just...
Oh, yeah, and she lost her brother. I thought we might find him in here or something, and the witches and stuff. But yeah, nothing. But
then, the witches are probably dead. We thought we found them.
I explained to her what... what's her name? Awiga looked like when she was a witch, and asked if it was anything like... What did the cursing?
Her eyes get huge, and she's like, that's the witch.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. The witch. We must have not killed the entire coven. That was the only one that was remaining. Did you defeat her?
No.
Well.
She got away.
So we did defeat her in a way. She's still alive.
She might be still in there if you want to go in.
I was there with you. I would have loved to struck the killing blow on her for what she did to me and hopefully not to my brother. But you didn't see Umlo in there.
Shit.
No.
We never did the extra perception checks, but I don't think we saw
him. Yeah, I don't know what we would have missed.
We saw no sign of him, and we searched the place high and low.
I ask her, was Umlo an equivalent level fighter to us? Do you think he had the survival skills we did from what you've seen?
Umlo is very strong. I've always looked up to him. He could... cleave a neck of a half-orc with one swing. Oh, sorry, too soon.
Well, I let her know, as strong as we were, we lost two of our number. And if he was by himself, I don't think the odds would have been good for him.
I understand. Well, I'm going to stay positive. I just believe he's still alive. I can feel it. I can feel he's alive. But... anyways, you have your mourning, your grieving to do, and a new friend?
And Della kind of leans down and gets really close to her and says, you smell really interesting.
Okay, let's...
I'm Della.
Let's just head back.
Yeah, so we make for Rag's boat on the River Esk. Would you like to follow us? Do you think maybe your brother might be at Red Lake Fort?
If your captain will have me, my axe is yours.
Aye, Rag's a good man. He'll listen to reason.
I hope my brother's still out there, and I'm happy to travel with you to the fort and see if we can find him.
Okay.
I take special care along the way to explain to her in Dwarven that no one else can understand, I believe, that, like, Lork's a sweet dude. There are some rough dudes on the boat, but they've actually been fair to us. I tell her the whole story, basically, of what happened. Because she, like, while she was crazy, like,
wanted to kill every orc in the world, and she's a dwarf. She hates orcs. I hated orcs. I dealt with that. So I'm just trying to get her ready to get on a boat full of
half-orcs.
Yeah. Sailors.
And a full-blooded orc. Okay, good. Yeah, that's helped her. She understands. And, it also helps you two bond a little bit more, which is important. She's unusually optimistic. I think she has that sort of kin sense that he lives.
Let me sense motive on her for her optimism. Just kidding.
She strikes you down. She casts Entangle.
Detect evil.
So you guys start making your way back. And like I said, it'll take 3 days. That's what it took you, I think, to get here.
Yeah.
As we walk, Della is just fascinated by this world. Like, even as like dim and murky and scary as Ghostlight Marshes, it's just so different from all the other planes that she and her father have been traveling to, and from the where she spent the past, however many long she's been there, how many long years she's been there.
And I think Galabras is spending the time kind of grilling her on all these different places she's seen, because that's his jam.
Planes.
Yeah. Or just anything different, anything about traveling to different places. So
she's really into telling them to you. She's like, she's never been able to talk about this with anyone but her father, who she hasn't seen for forever.
Right.
The first day, you make it, X amount of miles through. You camp out for the night, and everything's fine.
Oh, man, I could just hear in his tone of voice where this is going.
Second night, you make it through the night, camp out. Everything's fine. And then on your final night to get back to the boat, you are accosted by our first random encounter.
First ever
random encounter.
Whoa.
Wow.
What's that?
What is that? Skid, tell us about random encounters.
Skid's got some explaining to do. It is time for burning.
Random encounters are encounters that are random.
Right.
That's it.
They're not pre-scripted. Usually roll on a table in whatever you're doing. And you roll your dice and see if anything shows up or nothing shows up. And in this case, something showed up.
Yeah, yep. So usually, like, a lot of the encounters, obviously, that we play are story-based. It's like you're moving through the plot. But then sometimes when you're traveling over the wilderness for a long time, the GM can roll randomly and see if something shows up.
And random encounters seem like a way bigger thing in first edition AD&D, they were like half of whatever you ended up.
Yeah, because I think they didn't. Random encounters. Well, because I think they didn't write so many plot based encounters.
No. They didn't write adventures like this.
Right. They let the GM sort of like generate as you went. They gave you ideas.
For
random encounters, yeah. So you actually rolled...
On your journey here, I rolled every single night.
You rolled the first night.
Yep. When you left the keelboat, you guys made it all the way there and never got... It was like a 30% chance of a random encounter.
Oh, okay.
So I said, all right, well, I'll see what happens with the 3 days back. First day, fine. Second day, back, fine. Roll a 19 on the third day.
Ah, okay.
So you get a random encounter.
So you're rolling against our random encounter AC, basically?
So, yes, you come to a fork. You are within within a few hours of getting back to the keelboat, you would think. And you come to this waterway, basically. So you're on one tract of land, and then what lies before you is this, like, the swamp is breaking up again. So you're getting closer to the shore. Because remember when you guys got off, it was like little islands. That's where you fought the Hydra.
Right.
Well, similar to that, it's starting to break up again the closer you get to the water. So there are basically three chunks of land. You're on one of them, and then there's this waterway running through it. Make sense?
Looks like a command and conquer map from early 90s.
where's Inga?
Remember, I have Inga's with you. Inga Hild. Now remember, the water, if you're walking through it, counts as deep bog. So you get cover, but it costs 4 squares of movement to move in and out of it. Place yourselves on this thing, on this tract of land, anywhere you'd like to be. But you guys are all walking together. So No, he can't be like one guy way back here. I was just waiting to see.
Just put Inga and I next to each other, because we'll still be talking.
And I'm probably next to Della.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, okay.
Lork and Bear Naked. What's his name?
Barry Connick Jr.
are standing in front. Della and Galabras behind him, and Ingehild and Baron behind them.
As you guys get, oh boy, to this clearing, you see, you know, you've been walking through these bogs before. It's not anything different. But in front of you, the water starts to bubble.
Oh no, water-based stuff.
Starts to bubble, and the mud and the swamp start to coalesce and form a huge mud elemental.
Oh, no.
Mud elemental?
Wow.
A huge mud elemental.
I have never heard of this.
God. I don't have the pawn for it, but that's what it looks like. Wow. Check out the Tumblr.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
It is an enormous mud creature.
Oh, I have never heard of that.
And it is badass.
Oh, no.
Roll for initiative.
All right.
Crap.
Let's get our groove back, huh? You guys have had some tough combats. Don't let this kill one of you.
Oh, please, Lork, don't fumble. Oh, Lork.
And Inga...
I gotta say, my confidence isn't terribly high.
Inga is helping with the combat.
There we go.
Holy cow. Wait, actually, we should have been spellcrafting the greatsword on each of our 3 days.
Oh, the greatsword.
Would you mind if
Thank you, Matthew.
All right, assuming Galabras gave you a bit of luck, you would have, what, 6 opportunities or 4 opportunities?
4. This is the third day, unless we did it right. But let's just say
Let's say 4. So 4 d20s.
Nope.
Oh, no, come on.
Okay, there we go. 25.
Got it.
All right, what is it?
It is a... Oh, this is fun.
Yay!
It is a weapon called Gorham's Thorn.
Do you know, I was literally thinking about calling it that when I didn't know what it was.
Are you kidding me?
I almost called it the Vault of Thorns Longsword, and then I was like, I should just call it the Thorn Longsword. And then I was like, but it's got Gorm on it. I would call it Gorm's Thorn Longsword. No joke. Like, awesome. When I was like, I didn't have a name for it.
I'm going to tell you the story of this weapon. You're going to lose your shit.
Oh yeah.
The orcs of Belkson are no strangers to fighting giants, and orc priests of Gorm created a weapon called Gorm's Thorn for their faithful warriors to use against giant-sized foes.
Holy shit.
So this shit was made by orc priests.
Oh, wow.
The druids of the Council of Thorns captured one of these weapons in a battle with the orcs and placed it within the Vault of Thorns to study it in hopes of creating their own version of Gorm's Thorn to use against the orcs. This forge-blackened, +1 keen greatsword.
Oh, my God! Shit. Oh my God. It's so much better than the falchion. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's festooned with religious iconography depicting glorious images of the Lord in Iron. If Gorm is the wielder's patron.
Oh, dude, literally, did you ever tell me to take Gorm?
No, you picked Gorm.
Yeah, I just picked Gorm. Oh, like,
holy shit. I am so glad I failed in my attempts to convert you to Desna worthy.
Yeah.
Gorm
is just such a huge half-orc god that I read about it, and I was like, well, who else is he going to take? Like, angry battle god, he's a half-orc.
This is awesome. What is it? If Gorm is the wielder's patron, Gorm's Thorn gains an additional ability. When the wielder confirms a crit against any creature with the giant subtype, he can attempt to trip that target as a free action without provoking an attack of opportunity.
Trip a giant?
Wow.
And ignoring any size restrictions related to the target.
Wow.
Oh, my crap. God.
The only catch is, if the trip attempt fails by 10 or more, the wielder is knocked prone.
Ooh. Well, I'll take that risk.
But I mean, like, so you're going to have
to. You could trip a giant.
Like, yeah, a huge giant you could trip. But if you fail by 10 or more, you fall in the process.
Right. But the risk reward is so. I mean,
and that's like, when you crit, and it's a +1 keen greatsword. Have we talked? Yeah, we mentioned keen, but I don't think we.
We've never actually explained it.
Yeah.
Do you want to?
Yeah, because I can actually do this to my scimitar as well.
Nerd
it! Hey, let Matthew do it.
Matthew, you do it.
But, okay.
Matthew's got
time for Matthew.
Keen.
Keen
addition.
A keen addition.
So keening. No, so as far as I can tell, keening expands the crit range of a weapon.
Is that right? Doubles it,
right? So if you're, like for example, my scimitar crits 18 to 20, so it's a crit range of 3. So if I were to use my arcane pool to keen it, it would get a crit range of 15 to 20.
Meaning if you rolled a natural 15, it's a critical threat.
It makes crits happen all the time.
Right.
But a great sword ordinarily crits on 19, 20?
Right, so now it's 17 to 20.
So if you roll a 17, 18, 19, 20, and you have a plus one to hit and damage, because it's also a plus one longsword,
right,
you will crit now.
Critical 17, threat. 18,
19, critical threat, right.
Here's the other thing, though. If you're fighting like a super powerful opponent, right, like almost like that creature that we fought in the Vault of Thorns, if you roll a 17 and it doesn't result in a hit on their AC, it is a miss.
You have to roll a
natural 20 to mean it always hits no matter what the AC is.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So if I roll a natural 17, I still have to tell you what the AC hit is if we're fighting some ridiculous giant. Like, right. I still have to tell you the AC hit because it could still miss if it's that powerful.
Oh, that's interesting. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Only a natural 20 ever is an automatic hit.
Right. So, the easier way to explain it is like, what if Lork is sickened or he's blinded or he has all these disadvantages? If I roll a 17 and it's like 23 and you're like, that's a miss, then it's a miss. It does not crit. It's not even a threat.
You don't even roll to confirm, yeah.
But, you know, most of the time it's going to be pretty awesome. So the Falchion was 18 to 20, so I was super excited about that. And then it was just like, I got this greatsword, which does much more damage. So I'm like, sweet.
Yeah.
But I lose out on the crit range.
Now you
nope.
Do not.
Turns out I gained damage and crit range.
Is it 2d6?
2d6 damage.
Plus your strength.
Plus your strength.
Awesome.
Plus 1.5 times your strength if you dual wield.
Plus 1.5, plus 1 for the magic.
I was thinking about this the second you started crying about not getting a plus 1 falchion when you beat Tark Sinchkin.
You read ahead?
Will you just wait? It's an amazing weapon made specifically for your character.
So just to be clear, people have said longsword, greatsword. It's definitely a greatsword. You guys have both said both. So I just
what have I said?
No, it's greatsword.
You both said longsword and greatsword. So I'm just double-checking.
You said greatsword initially.
I said greatsword initially. I hope I was right, or if this is going to be another red leg fork
incident. That would be a huge difference.
Greatsword.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Much better. That's awesome.
You can only wield two-handed, right?
Correct.
And if anybody needs help expanding a crit range, it's a guy who rolls ones more than anybody else. Matthew's been stepping in to try and take that crown.
It's Joe's fault. Like I said,
guys,
traceable source.
Let's just focus and get killed by this mud elemental.
Right.
Guys, you're both terrible. Let's just play. All right, let's talk about initiative. You got Inga, double wielding. And you've got a pretty let me make this clear. This is an extremely dangerous creature. I rolled to see what kind of creature it would be, and this is one of the hardest ones. Who got over 20?
21.
25 for Della.
Whoa! 21 for Baron, 25 for Della.
20 for Lork.
Oh, Lork and old Connick. And Gel?
18.
Oh,
wow.
Holy
shit.
Yeah,
a bunch of high initiatives.
Wow, Inga rolled a 14, so she is going last. Round one, huge mud elemental, Della. And I will tell you, it's going to threaten a lot of different spaces because of its size.
Yeah.
It has a 15-foot reach.
Oh,
damn.
So am I threatened now?
Guys walked in, it came out of the mud. So that means it threatens 20 feet all around it.
Okay. So, first things first, Della's going to cast Cat's Grace on herself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then, let's see what happens with a little magic missile action.
Oh, magic missile.
What?
Spell resistance?
Negative.
Wait, you cast magic missile and Cat's Grace? Cannot.
Nope, sorry.
I was just putting that together.
Wait a minute.
Cat's Grace, and can I do a knowledge check?
You sound like one of Troy's bosses.
Can I do a knowledge check to see if I know anything about it?
Sure, it's going to be knowledge...
Local.
Outsider?
I am.
Planes.
Knowledge planes. Do you know anything about planes, Della?
In fact... Well, not about this.
As it turns out.
And I'm currently outside of its range, right?
Nope.
Nope.
Can't move. Or you're going to provoke. Unless you want to try.
I'm going to take a 5-foot step back.
Okay. Backing up. 5-foot step.
Yep.
Okay. The party is all pretty much clumped together, less than 20 feet away from this thing. And it is Baron's turn.
Baron's going to 5-foot step back and rapid shot.
All right, Baron.
Oh.
With my gun training, that is not a misfire. Just this level. Roll, not a misfire.
Roll the 2. Oh,
jeepers. Not a misfire.
So it would have been a misfire if it was up close and deadly, right?
No, it wouldn't have been. It would have been a misfire if I had used alchemical cartridges to reload, but since we've been on the road for 4 days, I only use alchemical cartridges if I'm in like
dire circumstances.
If I need to free reload.
There you go.
20 against touch AC.
That is a hit.
8 points of damage.
Okay. See the bullet just...
piercing and bludgeoning.
You're like, man, I don't think that did the damage I wanted it to do.
Oh, no.
And now it's its turn.
Oh, jeez.
What should we do here? Who's up front there?
Oh, who do you think?
Right, Lork, you're going down, buddy.
Old Lork Ironclaw.
Gonna do a couple of slams. Power attack slams.
Never.
The damage is monstrous.
I just wanted to swing my sword one time.
20 to hit.
That is a hit.
Did you wear that plus one breastplate?
Oh, it's still a hit. But I did not wear that yet. I should wear that.
18 points of damage on the first hit.
That's no good.
Natty 19 on the second roll.
Damn it.
Slams down again, 17 points of damage. Oh, and you need to roll a...
It's like I'm already just getting like out of it again. Like already getting out of the combat. It's insane.
Lork, you need to roll a very high DC in fortitude save.
Fail.
You are covered in mud and you can't move. So you basically gain the entangled condition. Which we've dealt with a lot lately.
But he's not connected to the monster, just like left a glob of clay. So this is like Clayface from the Batman animated series.
Exactly, exactly.
I love it. I hate it, but it's a cool monster.
I will tell you this, if you get hit by that again, you will be made completely helpless. Just covered in mud. If you fail a second fortitude save against it. I think
It's a save. There's no chance to like break out though with entanglement. It's all fortitude based.
I think you can get out of it like you normally can entanglement.
Strength check it.
Says. Okay, cool.
Which is good for Lork, but bad if he gets hit again. Now that's all it can do, and it's Lork's turn. So right now you're entangled in mud.
I mean, there's absolutely, once again, nothing I can do. So I will attempt to break out of it, I guess. I mean, it's the only thing that makes any sense. I also go into a rage, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
All because it hits you below half?
Yeah, in one round.
An entangled creature can make a strength check as a full round action to break free. Oh, boy.
I can make a strength check as a... it doesn't matter. That's what's so crazy is I break out of it and he's still just standing there and smashing away at me. Whatever.
Doesn't matter. Unless it has another target to hit.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Okay, so strength check?
Yeah.
And is it passable?
Sure.
You're raging.
Yeah.
I am raging.
But Joe is rolling, so.
Yep, fail.
And there go the dice.
He just flung his dice.
Okay. And it is now Barry Connick Jr.'s turn.
Stay.
I think with the mud in your mouth, it's like...
Yeah.
Galabras.
I'm going to take a 5-foot step back and cast Spiritual Hammer.
Nice. Oh, baby. Boom. Blue glowing hammer of Uskroth appears behind or next to where he put it.
And behind him.
Okay.
And it attacks 18.
Miss.
Can I tell you my dream for this combat for you, Galabras?
Sure.
Gary, the Celestial Dolphin, shows up at our darkest hour to turn the tide of battle against a level 20 Mudgolem.
Wow, that's a great idea. I think I can make that happen.
All right.
It just gets murdered immediately.
It is Inga's turn, and she is... Man, she is far away. She's 15 feet away, so she's going to have to make an attack... she's going to have to make acrobatics checks to try and get through there. And she does not have acrobatics. So she's going to fire her bow. First attack, natty 19.
Yeah!
Hits and does no damage. Second attack, misses. Round two. Della, what you going to do?
Magic missile.
There you go.
It's 10 points of damage.
Doom, 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 doom. What was that, four missiles?
Four missiles shoot out of each of my fingertips.
All right, all that damage went through. And now it is Baron's turn.
Baron is going to fire at him twice from the depths of hell.
You're in the depths of hell?
What it feels like getting out of one combat that killed us all into another.
Is Inga up there with it?
I know Inga didn't want to provoke, so she just shot
with the bow.
Twice with her bow, yeah.
28 against that, JC.
That is a hit.
8 points of damage.
Same situation as before.
27 against that, JC.
That's nice. A hit. Oh, he's firing now. Baron's back.
Minimum damage, 6 points.
Oh boy. Not much damage at all. You can tell this thing has DR. All right. It is its turn. It moves up through the water and attempts to attack Ingehild with a slam. 19 to hit. Hits her. Oh, boy.
We hardly knew you.
This is going to be rough on old Inga. Inga takes 22 points of damage.
Oh, my crap.
And now she's got to roll a fortitude save. This is a dwarf, so she's got a little bit better fortitude action, and she fails.
Oh, my God.
Even with the plus two, yeah. So Ingehild is now entangled. And it is Lork's turn. You're still...
He's like
locked in,
inches away from the body of this thing. Based on how the battle is now, it'd be pretty scary.
I guess I'll just try to break out again.
Okay.
Well, can you just attack it from where you are?
Can I? Can I act normally?
Yeah, you're entangled.
I take it. Just take a minus two to hit.
Yeah, minus two to hit. Yeah, absolutely. You just run the risk of it attacking you again and being completely helpless.
There's a dex penalty as well.
If Lore can swing at this thing, he's going to swing at it, and he's going to do a power attack.
Go for it.
Because he's got to cut through that DR.
With a new Gorum's Thorn.
All right, come on. Blessings of Gorum. Come on. Come on!
Oh my God!
It's impossible.
Oh,
are you kidding? Are you kidding?
People are going to think we're making this up.
This is... Oh my, I've never
one
seen
on the die
like this.
One on the
oh my God.
This is the life I live every day. Every day I get up and I live me.
In the words of Joe, why do we even play? Why do we even play?
I get up. Sometimes you wonder,
I live
man.
Me.
Oh, oh my God. It's so heartbreaking.
Oh no.
Oh no, do you attack
I
your
have
companion?
To attack the bear, and it's a critical threat.
Oh no!
Oh no! Oh no! So you basically go to swing God. It and you whip around and hit Barry Connick Jr.
This is making me sick. This makes me sick!
Oh my God, what if you kill it?
So I have to confirm.
You're gonna crit the bear with a magical greatsword! No.
It's already a hit. This is just to confirm the critical. Here comes a natural 20, by the way. 18. Oh, yeah. Well, I know my character's AC. That's a confirmed.
Can you bolster the companion?
Yeah. No, I absolutely can.
Against your
like, I'm so sorry. Get out of the way. I fucked up. So you right, just. So, oh, actually, 18. No, it's a miss.
Oh, awesome.
Because I bolster his AC by 4. So 18 is a miss if I do that.
Well, it's still a hit. You just didn't confirm
yes,
the crit.
Yes, it is. Oh, it's 2d6 plus 14.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. Because it's a power attack.
Raging. Raging
power attack.
Oh, my God. Oh, could be worse.
Lost his
18
son.
Points of damage.
Oh, my
to
Lord.
To my own animal companion.
When you're not critting yourself, you're critting your best friend.
This is so awful.
But it's half, right? Isn't it half? Half damage?
Yeah.
Bolster?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because a bolster companion increases his AC by 4.
And then if it still,
still hits, you take half damage. Yeah. So it's only 9. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So that definitely could have been worse. All right. What is Barry Connick Jr. going to do? I'm assuming attack you.
Yeah. He attacks right. me.
Roll the bite.
God. You know, he can't. I mean, he can't do anything. He just can't get to the mud creature because it's only river between. Oh, wait. You said it was swamp. So it's not like he can stand in it. Can he stand in it and attack?
4 squares of movement to get into it, but yeah, 20 feet of movement. So he can take a 5-foot step into it, absolutely.
So he'll step up into it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a 5-foot step, so...
That's an attack.
It would provoke.
Right? Yeah, to get into there is going to provoke.
Yeah.
You okay with that?
No, I'm not. I'm just going to tell him to stay.
Okay.
So I'm not going to tell him to attack.
Galabras, you're seeing all this go down. It does not look good.
Jeez, man, I just cut him open. My own companion.
In nature.
John.
Hey, oh, by any chance, does this creature have a giant subtype?
No.
Okay.
So I go big, and I can take a 5-foot step and attack.
Ah, okay.
Two-handed.
So Galabras is big and in charge with a magical weapon.
Nope.
And just,
nope.
Nope.
Oh God.
Ingehild will
Lork.
Ingehild will attempt to get out and she fails. That is gonna be really bad for her.
It's tough.
Round
wait,
3.
Can she still shoot her bow?
Oh wait, my
or her arrow.
My spiritual hammer.
Your hammer.
Yes, spiritual hammer.
Spiritual weapon. Oh, fuck this fucking dice tray is a piece of crap.
It's at an angle, and so I was rolling it, and it keeps like rolling downhill. And it was like, oh, 14, oh, 17, 3, 2, oh, 4. Fuck.
So it was a hit?
No, it's a 4. It was a 4 hit.
If you add all those numbers together, though, that's.
Yeah, can I add them together? That's the rule, right?
It's 34. Yeah. No, Ingehild used her full run action to try and escape and failed, and now it is Della's turn.
Can I try another knowledge check on this? Or is that not how the rules work?
Nope, only one, yeah.
Does it appear to have eyes?
Yeah. I mean, you can kind of see a face in there, but it's really hard to tell.
All right.
What, are you going to hex it?
Your weapon is going to have the best chance I
know,
of hurting it.
Now I just got to find a way to get in at it, you know?
There's acrobatics in there.
Well, I have to get... Oh, I can. I guess I can move through Ingehild Square.
Just going to be covered in mud in 2 seconds.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to do it. I'm going to move around and come at him from the other side so I don't have to go in the water. As I go, I'm going to spend an arcane pool point to...
I'm sorry. I'm not understanding what you're doing.
How are you getting?
There's a million threatened squares. Like,
I'm going to have to roll acrobatics checks.
The most
direct, I'm going around.
The best then, way for you to get there, and still, if you want to attack,
that's water.
I'd have to go in the water though, so I'd have to. I wouldn't have the movement speed to get there. So can I go around out of its out
and
of
this
its
thing
range?
Is threatening, all the way to here.
So you can go through
20 feet.
You can go through my square.
That's what I was thinking.
I think the only move you can make right now without doing acrobatics check is backwards.
So if I go around and then come in and take two,
yeah, you would have to make 3 acrobatics checks, but
to get right up to it,
and you'd
right.
be moving at half speed.
Well, hold on. Case. Keep in mind, he only has to make an acrobatics check to avoid an attack of opportunity, which means you have to take an attack of opportunity for him to avoid it.
Correct. So he doesn't have combat reflexes.
So if he passes the first one and you take it, so you can say, all right, he moves 1 square.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to take an attack of opportunity?
Oh right, of course he will.
Okay, so you roll to avoid it.
24.
CMD.
Failed.
Holy crap.
It has an enormous CMD.
Yeah. Okay.
And it goes slamming down at you and hits with a 17 on the die. Oh boy. 21 points of damage.
Oh my
just
God.
Boom! Mud fist.
This is brutal.
That stops all movement, I'm guessing?
No, you can now continue to move.
Because it doesn't add that
but
extra.
But if it has combat reflexes,
right?
I don't think.
Do you want to move another one?
I don't think it'll have them.
Matthew,
I'm going to try it.
All right.
Della steps up. Nothing.
Yeah. Okay.
So now you can get within range.
So you took the beating, but now you're in there.
So as I'm approaching, I'm going to spend an arcane point for my arcana pool.
Okay.
To add shock to my flaming scimitar.
Oh,
so it's
shock!
Flaming and shocking.
Yeah. Whoa.
All right.
Whoa. And I'm going to spend another arcane point to give myself +3 on the
well,
attack.
You better make a count because I forgot to try and entrap you with the mud.
Wait. If you add an arcane point, that's a swift action.
No matter what I do?
Yeah. So you can't do another swift action in a round.
Yes.
Right. That's true.
Okay. So no +3.
Okay. It can't be
it's
a
so
one.
Fu- it's
it
so
can't
fun
be a one.
To play a character who fights in melee. It's 12.
It is. Isn't it miserable? Welcome to my world.
12 to hit.
12 does not hit.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We just need some good rolls.
We have rolled so badly. It's insane.
Yeah.
Baron, you're up.
Sorry, I'm eating pretzels.
Damn it, Baron. This is why you're dying. That's why the party's dying.
You guys know what I'm going to do.
I'm close, Dilly.
Oh, we rolled an 18.
27 against touch
AC. Roll for damage.
That is 7 points of damage.
Oof.
This time I'm going to get up close and deadly.
Baron, you're not hurting it at all.
With that last one.
Gonna give it. It's just barely doing any damage. Just chip, chip, chipping away.
Well, someone's got to do it.
Lork heard that.
Them's fighting words.
Oh, there you go.
So that is a 26.
That would have been two crits for Lork. Give me that die.
You want the belt too? Is that enough for you? That is 13 points of damage.
Oh, nice. Okay. Now we're talking.
The belt would have been wasted on Lork.
You need a belt that lets you roll higher.
I know. Belt of +5 to all rolls.
It is now going to do cleave.
Oh, God.
But it possesses the feat Great Cleave.
Oh, so it just keeps going and
it just
going
keeps
and
trying
going
to hit everybody. So once it hits, if it hits its first person, it gets a free attack against every adjacent character within its threat range,
yeah,
which is everyone except Baron. This could be really, really bad because
yeah, we may have to run.
If you guys fail your fortitude saves, you'll all be entrapped.
Right.
Oh, yeah, we can't run.
This is rough. Okay. It's going to make one. Now, you should also know with cleave, its AC does go down for a round of using cleave, and it can only do this one attack. If this attack hits, it will attack all of you. And it is going...
Well, no, it's like a chain, I think. So
yeah,
you have to roll each hit.
It misses anybody.
Yeah. Oh, it stops if you miss?
Yeah, you get a free attack on each one, but each one you have to roll for.
Right.
I see. So it's as long as it keeps hitting, it keeps going.
What do you think you're playing, man? Diablo? Get out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
Okay. Here it goes. It's going after Lork.
Oh, so he's... Okay.
23 to hit.
Damn. Oh, damn it.
Oh boy, you're going to take 21 points of damage.
Oh, God!
And you need to roll a fortitude save or you will be completely helpless. Like, just completely covered in mud.
I can't even begin. We should have just ran. Oh my God, that was amazing. I rolled the die and it flopped onto another die. Landed on top of it completely evenly with a natural 15.
Oh, wow.
Whoa, so what's a fortitude save?
So that's 22.
I'll tell you right now, you just barely made it. That's how fucking brutal
this
thing is.
Jesus.
So you do not become helpless, but you know that you've got to get the hell out of there.
Oh, no, I mean, I'm going to, yeah, I have 5 hit points, and I'm already raging. So when I go out of that, I'm -5
jeepers
hit points.
Jeepers. All right, well, now it's just going to keep.
But I'm already stuck, so it's like.
This hit will be on excuse me. On
Inga,
Giant Galabras. Oh. 16 on the die. Hits for... Oh, brother. 22 points of damage.
Ooh, 17 points of damage.
And now Giant Galabras has to roll a fortitude save.
All right. 19?
Made it.
Yeah.
Made it. Okay, next attack is Della. 23 or something.
Yeah, yeah. Damn. Right across.
22 points of damage as well, and you need to roll a fortitude save. This thing is just... Poof, poof, poof.
Are we lagging behind in level or something?
I know, seriously. Like,
did we miss like a bunch of experience points somewhere?
24 on the fortitude save.
Oh, you're great. Okay, so you're not entangled. So right now, Lork is the only one. Oh, Lork and Galabras. No, excuse, Galabras, you passed. So Lork is the only one that's entangled.
Lork is going to be like, run!
Next attack is on Ingehild.
You must flee!
If I get out of range, I can magic missile it some more. But
you must run.
Hits Ingehild for 23 points of damage.
Shit.
Ingehild is down to 10 hit points.
Wait, to be fair, I do believe, is it only in your threat range? For cleave, they don't have to be adjacent?
Adjacent to each other.
They don't have to be adjacent to you?
I don't believe so. I think as long as within your range. And then the last one will be on Barry Connick Jr.
Oh, no, no,
oh,
no,
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 it can't start back. It has to go like...
go back to the beginning.
Oh, it's all in one direction.
Fair enough. I was just being nice by waiting for him till the end. But so it just hit every single one of you for almost 20 points of damage each. Lork, you're up. And you know, Lork... that it has already used its attack of opportunity.
Right.
From Della. Right, because you got into position this round. This is round three. This is insane. This is a random encounter!
You act like you're surprised.
Okay.
I'm surprised.
Lorca's going to say, run! You must all flee! We cannot face this foe! And he is going to attack it. He's not going to take a full... attack, a full action to try to break out.
Jeepers.
He's going to try to swing, power attack.
If you go unconscious, will you die?
Yes.
100%.
But he tells everyone to run away, and he's going to try to take its attention. And it's so much more valuable if he swings at it with his power attack with this amazing sword, and I'm so mad that I'm going to die and never get to use this awesome sword. 23 to hit, power attack.
Hit. Don't forget, its AC is lower.
Is that a crit?
No, it was a natty 16. Natty 17 would have been a hit.
Oh, come on. All right, that was a power attack, right?
So close, yeah. Power attack.
Raging power attack.
Raging power attack. 24 points of
damage. Oh, did you roll boxcars? Oh, no. 64. Wow, 24 points of damage.
24 points with a magical weapon, if that does anything.
Oh, boy. It is below half.
Well, that was his last. That was his last hurrah. So everybody, run! Please run! Please run!
It is now
seriously. I'm not
Barry Connick Jr.'s turn.
I tell him to run.
You tell Barry Connick Jr.
Yeah,
to
so
flee.
I'm going to push him to flee. And I don't know. He doesn't know that trick. So I got to get a 14 on the die. I fail.
So Barry Connick Jr. just stays there.
Yeah. Confused. What are you saying? I don't understand what you're saying. Your mouth is full of mud.
Ooh. By the way, I
God, now I can do 24 points of damage and I'm going to die! Oh. Right when I get it.
I forgot to roll Ingehill's fortitude save, but she saved, so she is not helpless.
Okay.
Which means she will be able to act in this round if she chooses to, like, shoot instead of try and break the entangle. Galabras, you see Lork is probably going to die if he falls out of his rage.
Yeah.
Everybody just got crunched, including yourself.
Flee!
I'm...
Run!
Leave me to die.
I'm serious. It's like, this is the DR, the reach, the cleave.
I'm going to go back 30 feet and channel.
Galabras steps back.
7 points.
Does that he doesn't provoke because it already used.
It already used.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So Galabras backs out. Giant Galabras.
And the hammer.
And the hammer, yes.
18.
18 hits because its AC is lowered.
Nice.
As a cleave. When you use cleave, you leave yourself open.
Right.
5 points of force damage.
So that cuts through.
Shakalaka. And your magical weapon also cut through. Okay, it is Ingehild's turn. What the hell? Ingehild, she can shoot straight through Della. It's going to be, it's going to give it +2 to its AC, right?
Well, she can also,
she's entangled.
She can also hold and ready for when Della gets out of the way.
Della might not get out of the way.
Right. Well, Della can take a 5-foot step.
But either way, she can hold.
Yeah, so Ingehild's going to hold, look for a clear shot, because then she can do 2 shots.
You're not going to flee?
I would incur an attack of opportunity if I did.
No. The attack of opportunities are done.
No,
it's a new round when I go.
Oh, that's the top of the
round. And if she hits me on the attack of opportunity, I'm down. So I've got to try to do magical damage and see what I can do.
Yeah.
It's the only option.
You're not wrong.
If I'm alive, I'll take a 5-foot step.
Critical. It's time to get critical.
She can just get unentangled. She can do 4 attacks on this thing. She's got a dwarven war axe in one hand, a hand axe in the other, but she fucking entangled. It takes a round to get
up. I'm sorry, she doesn't have quick draw, so she wouldn't be able to do that in the next round.
It's all these conditions. It's so brutal. Yeah. It handicaps you.
Della, you're up.
Della's going to swing with the scimitar, the flaming, icy scimitar.
Are you going to take a 5-foot step and move out of Inga's way, or are you going to
stay? I'm going to do that after.
Ah, okay. So swinging your flaming scimitar.
Natural 20.
Oh! I fucking knew it.
Della!
That is Della! Minimum maximum Della! Damage across all types of damage.
Oh, okay.
Della, all right, baby.
Roll to confirm.
Oh, come on, do it.
14 to confirm.
You might be better off.
Yeah, you might be better off because
that's max with all the specials and everything.
Yeah. So it's 6 fire and 6 frost?
It's 6 fire and 6 frost.
Oh, and that all cuts through DR. And then
a magic weapon.
It's a magic weapon.
And so then roll your attack damage.
No, just max damage.
Yeah. Oh, so it will be 12 attack damage.
And
magic weapon.
And then another 12, and another 12 energy damage between fire and frost.
So 24 total damage?
Yeah.
Actually, it's electricity. It's electricity and fire.
Well, it is not immune to those, so that all goes through.
Yeah.
Oh. 24 points of damage.
She's like,
do you step out of
She's not dead. Oh, come on.
She's not dead. If you step out of the way, you might have just, maybe Inga.
5-foot step.
5-foot step. Inga Hild now.
Come on, Inga. Come on, Inga.
And then it's going to be Baron, and then it's going to be its turn.
Oh, shit.
Now its AC stays lowered until its next turn, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
So, Inga Hill's first shot, +9 to hit, 20.
Yes!
Hits.
Yes!
Hits
all right.
On the die. She does max damage.
Yes!
9 points of damage. This thing is almost ready to die.
Oh, but not quite.
Almost ready to die. I'll tell you right now, it has 6 hit points left.
Oh, okay. Fuck.
Second attack. Misses on the second attack.
Oh, that's what we need.
Up to you, Baron.
Baron.
Up close. Up close. And
Baron!
Put it all on the line.
Kill it, Baron! Kill it! Kill it!
I haven't seen a man die like you since Wilt Chamberlain. And I'm going to shoot him. He's tall. They're tall. They're tall. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Let me roll the damage.
Yep. You got to roll at least 11 damage.
That is 14 damage.
And it dies.
Yeah! Oh, amazing.
Boom.
Boom. Wow. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
I guess there's no such thing as a random encounter. Oh. Only horrifying, terrible encounters.
Oh, God.
I check the body for gold.
I'm just going to say, bottle cap, not running, ignoring Lark's advice and doing a critical.
You know what? No.
No, because you did it because you were afraid of the attack of opportunity. That is not.
And my reasoning was I could possibly kill it if I stayed.
I think the
I have no problem with people lobbying for bottle caps in this game. You have to do it.
I think the crit was.
I was at 11 hit points. Enough. I was at 11 hit points. One hit, I would have been down.
Every single one of you could have died except Baron.
Dude, I had 6. Yeah, I had 6 hit points when I just.
So when you come out of your rage now, what happens?
Oh yeah.
I mean, well, I healed. Well, he healed. So when I come out of my rage, I have 2 out of 61.
Man.
Well, I'm sorry. 2 out of 51.
And you didn't go helpless. None of you went helpless. It was a DC 19 fortitude save to gain entangled. And then if you get hit again, DC 19 to become helpless.
Oh. Yeah. And now, can we go to the boat? I just want to go to the fucking boat, man.
I never thought I'd want to be back on that boat.
I know.
Back on that death trap.
Wait, can I ask you a question? Did we have any indication of how much time passed when we emerged from the Vault of Thorns?
Yeah, I was going to ask. Oh, yeah, we would have asked Inga Hild.
She's still there, so I assume she wasn't like years.
She's like, 3-4 days.
Time passes normally.
Okay. So it's not like Flight of the Navigator. Got it.
So you guys battered and bruised.
God, my heart is still pounding.
Battered, bruised, beaten, near death, every single one of you.
We never accounted for what happened to Gormley's body in that encounter.
I assume they just dropped her in the mud.
Dropped it, boom.
You guys are battered, beaten, bruised. Everyone's had a near-death experience. Some more than others. Two have succumbed to death. And you march through the rest of the swamp. It starts getting much more damp, more waterways, very boggy. And then off in the distance, you see Rags' keelboat.
Oh, great. Yeah.
He waited. And I just see Lork like walking with up Gormley's to the body. Jolly boat. You know, you can see it right there. And you've got Gormley's body in your hands. And you can see Rag Bloodtusk sort of pacing the deck. And Rag looks out across the water and sees you. And we'll pick it up here next time. Oh,
that's a good place to stop.
Oh, I need a drink.
One to remember and one to forget.